Newfoundland has a long and rich supernatural history. This island, suspended in the North Atlantic, is said to be home to ghosts, fairies, and the occasional witch. The St. John's Haunted Hike, run by storyteller and folklorist Dale Jarvis, celebrates the supernatural tradition of the city. This ghostly walking tour takes visitors on an extraordinary tour of the city, recounting tales of murder and ghostly apparitions that are as old as the city itself. The tour provides a unique perspective of the aptly named City of Legends. I'm correspondent Rebecca Nolan. Come along and join me as I talk to Mr. Jarvis about the haunted hike, as well as a supernatural belief in Newfoundland. But first, a story from the hike.
At this juncture, I wish to share what may very well be the oldest ghost story on record for St. John's, dating to the year 1745. It involves a man by the name of Samuel Pettiham, who rented a small house at the end of a dark lane off Queen's Road. As the legend is told, Pettiham had been attending a dinner party in the west end of St. John's, and as it was late, his host offered to drive him home, hitching up his horse and carriage. The horse drove up what is now New Gower Street and turned onto Queen's Road. And as the beast drew abreast of the little laneway that led to Pettiham's house, it stopped and refused to budge an inch further forward, even when it felt the sting of its owner's whip. At this, Pettiham volunteered to walk the rest of the distance. The laneway was dark and overgrown with trees, but ahead of him, Pettiham could see a glowing light, and thinking it to be a lamp or a lantern of some sort carried by a fellow human being, he quickened his step to catch up with the figure responsible. But 20 yards further on, the figure stepped into the moonlit clearing immediately in front of Pettiham's cabin. Pettiham stood there. The figure turned towards him. Pettiham took one look at the vision and then turned and fled in absolute horror. For the figure he had seen was that of a man. A tall man. A man with his head cut completely off just above the shoulders.
I'm Dale Jarvis, and I'm a storyteller and folklorist, and I'm the proprietor of the St. John's Haunted Hike Ghost Tour.
And how did you come up with the idea for the Haunted Hike?
I had been on a ghost tour in the city of York in England many years ago, and I thought it was a fabulous experience. There was this fellow all dressed in black who took us through the old medieval city of York and told great stories. And as I was doing it, I was thinking this would be perfect in St. John's because we have great history, we have great back alleys and lots of great architecture. So I came back and started putting the hike together, and that was in 1997, so it's been a long time. Yeah, the hike has really grown. When I started it, I never imagined it would kind of grow the way that it has. But right now we have two downtown tours that we run, and then another ghost story event that we do in partnership with Parks Canada at the National Historic Site on Signal Hill. So we tell ghost stories in the summer, and we're telling ghost stories every night of the week.
So I noticed that a lot of the stories you tell on the hike are very place-specific. And I was wondering what you've noticed about the connection between place and story.
I work for the Heritage Foundation of Newfoundland and Labrador, and my work has always been around kind of the intersection between place and story. We are lucky living here in Newfoundland that place and story are inextricably linked. You know, people here have stories that are very, very specifically tied to specific locations. Culture is a local thing, grows out of community. We live in a place that has a great storytelling tradition, and quite often those stories are very specific from community to community. And I'm really interested in those kind of micro traditions about how narratives evolve in local areas. I'm really interested, for example, in local legend. I'm really interested in, you know, how stories kind of evolve in a very specific location.
This is getting a little bit back towards the haunted hike and towards the supernatural aspect of things.
Yeah.
But can you share a little bit about supernatural folklore of Newfoundland?
Yeah, that's a big question. When I started the haunted hike here in St. John's, a lot of the research I was doing was archival, and I was collecting stories from newspaper clippings, from published accounts, from books, and I did a few interviews with people. But then as the years went on, I became more and more interested in collecting firsthand personal experience. And I would have people come up to me regularly on the walking tour and say, oh, I've got a story for you for this area, or from some other location in Newfoundland. And I started to do more and more work with collecting those stories. And I love collecting local stories about hauntings and other experiences. And in Newfoundland, we have stories of haunted houses like there are in many other places. But we have some interesting stories as well. One of the most common types of stories that I collect from people is what is known locally as a token. So a token story is where someone gets a warning of someone's death, either at the moment of that person's death or slightly before or slightly after.
This neighborhood is also, of course, haunted. The haunting in question being focused on one of the homes behind you on Livingston Street. The building is home to what is known locally as a token or death token. A death token is where someone becomes aware through some sort of supernatural means that someone close to them has either recently died or that their death is about to occur. The victim may appear visually to the bereaved, or the loss may be communicated in some other fashion, such as through the sudden stoppage of a clock or some other inexplicable event. Tokens can take the form of animal figures, moving lights, or voices calling out as if from a great distance. The token here was reported over a short period of time in the 60s. A younger male relative of the woman who dwelt in the building disappeared under somewhat mysterious circumstances. And the night following his disappearance, his form appeared to hover at the foot of the woman's bed and appeared each and every night at the same spot at the same time, every night, up until the day his body was discovered dead at the bottom of Signal Hill. Murder was whispered about, but nothing conclusive ever came of the case. And from that day to this, his ghost has not been seen again.
And it's about the relationship that people would have with each other and kind of communication at a distance. So a classic example, a friend of mine who grew up in the Goulds, just south of St. John's, there was a story that he told about how his grandfather hadn't been well and his mother was home alone one day. And she looked down the hallway and her father-in-law was standing at the end of the hallway, and she said, "Pop, what are you doing here in the house?" And then the phone rang and she picked up the phone, and it was her husband on the phone phoning to say that his father had just died. And so with the phone still in her hand, she looked down the hallway and the grandfather had disappeared. And those types of stories are very, very common here in Newfoundland. I'm also really fascinated by fairy legends, which is something that we are lucky to still have here. People still tell fairy stories here in Newfoundland.
And because this is going to the U.S., their perception of fairies is extremely different than Newfoundland perception of fairies. Can you tell a little bit about the difference?
I think there's a general understanding that fairies are, you know, kind of cute and live at the end of the garden and flit around and, you know, that kind of Tinkerbell kind of looking fairy. And that's really not what the fairies are like in Newfoundland. They exist in a bewildering array of physical or semi-visible forms. And they are not nice creatures. In Newfoundland, they are to be respected, if not feared, at times. And there are most of the stories that I collect about fairies here are about people who have somehow trespassed or who have done something to annoy the fairies in some way. And the fairies can show their displeasure in any number of different ways, including imposing physical harm of some kind on people. There's a tradition here of what's called a blast, where someone will develop a strange swelling on their body, and when it's cut open, from out of it will come moss and twigs or feathers or little bones, things like that. People have been made lame or stolen away completely by the fairies. Many, many stories of fairy abductions. So the fairies are not the nice kind of Victorian picture book fairies that people are familiar with. Fairies are kind of the element of chaos. They're hard to pin down. And generally, if you value your health and sanity, you stay away from them.
How do you think that got created, that they were so different just here?
You know, fairies have a very complex history, and there's lots of different places where there are fairy legends and fairy stories. And the fairy tradition that we have in Newfoundland is quite unique in a way, because they aren't English fairies, and they aren't Irish fairies, and they aren't French fairies, and they aren't Scottish fairies. They are really a kind of a unique blending of things that happens here. One really good example of this is that even in communities in Newfoundland which consider themselves to be Irish, tell stories about the fairies, and that you can often use bread or breadcrumbs as a way of keeping the fairies at bay. And this is not an Irish tradition at all. And it was a tradition in the West Country of England, but those largely died out in English traditional stories, and they persisted here. And the fairies that kind of evolved here are very, very different in a way from the typical kind of fairy stories you might hear in Ireland, or, you know, stories that you might hear in Scandinavia. They are their own race of beings here. Newfoundland fairies are, like I said, they exist in a wide variety of different forms and shapes, and sometimes they're visible and sometimes they're not visible. But they are always unpredictable, which is one of the reasons I'm fascinated by those stories as a folklorist and as a storyteller.
And on the hike and my own personal experience in Newfoundland, I've noticed that belief in things like ghosts and fairies and other supernatural entities play a pretty big role in Newfoundland identity. And I was wondering why you think that was.
I think Newfoundlanders love stories. I mean, storytelling in itself is a really integral part of kind of cultural identity in Newfoundland. People love telling stories. They love to talk. It's very much a part of the Newfoundland character here. And stories are also a way of kind of maintaining tradition and maintaining history. So we see, for example, a lot of shipwreck stories here in Newfoundland. And I think shipwreck stories, in a way, or ghost ship stories, are a way to kind of keep history alive and current. So people tell a ghost ship story, and that history is then carried forward, because ghost stories are interesting, and people love telling ghost stories. So it's a way for people to kind of keep the history kind of moving forward. I think as well that there's a long history in Newfoundland of folklore collection as well. You know, there have been people doing folklore work in Newfoundland for 100 years. There's been an established folklore program in Newfoundland since the 1960s. So it's not unusual for people to know critically about folklore. You know, there are many, many people who've gone through Memorial University who've taken a folklore course. So folklore is something that we both do and talk about at the same time. And so I think people here are comfortable talking about ghosts and ghost ships and fairies, whereas in other places, those are things that people don't necessarily talk about. And here, I think we have this kind of unique blend of both of those things that have happened over a long period of time.
And that kind of reminds me of last night at the end of the Haunted Hike. You had the huge line afterwards of people coming up and asking you, oh, have you heard about this place that's haunted, or I've had this experience? And that, I think it really speaks to that. And does that happen to you a lot? Do you find it happening more here than other places, or is it just kind of a general thing? You're a folklorist, and so people want to share their experiences.
I think people recognize me now as the ghost guy, right? So they will come up and tell me their stories because there is maybe, you know, I say that we do love to tell ghost stories, but there's still sometimes this perception that, oh, I can't tell this story because you think I'm crazy. But people see in me someone who is receptive to ghost stories. I think sometimes I'm perceived as being a true believer in ghost stories. What I am is a lover of stories, and I have an open mind. So people are comfortable coming and telling me their stories. Part of that is me personally. I think people love coming up and telling me their stories. But I think as well, you know, in Newfoundland, people are comfortable telling those types of stories anyway. So people do tend to tell them more and more. The Haunted Hike provides an opportunity for people who are interested in ghost stories to come together and share a shared experience around ghost stories. So it's very, very common after the ghost tour that people will come up to me and tell me their stories. They've just listened to me tell stories for an hour, and they want to have an opportunity to tell their stories as well. And I've had people from all over the world come and tell me their stories and strange things that have happened to them. So it's not just Newfoundlanders who are coming and telling me stories. I think part of it is that I have created an environment in that, you know, small period of time where ghost stories are the established norm. So people are willing to come and tell me and talk to me. And I've heard some fabulous stories, stories which have made their way back onto the hike, you know, have been told to me.
Can you share some of those?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. A gentleman told me a story about Victoria Street. He had grown up on the street, and his mother had run a boarding house. It was one of these tall three-story downtown St. John's row houses. They lived on the ground floor, and the upper two stories were rooms that they rented out. As children, they were never allowed to go upstairs because it was rented out to boarders. And in addition to this, one of their boarders had died in the upper level of the building. And so as children, they were both told they weren't allowed to go upstairs, and they were also terrified of going upstairs because someone had died in one of the upper rooms. This gentleman came on the hike one night and told me the story about the house, and told me about how one night when his parents were out of the building and the lodgers were gone, he snuck upstairs because he wanted to go into the room. And he opened the room, the door, where this gentleman had died, and one of the lodgers was still in the room and was sitting on one of the beds in the room, sitting and smoking a cigarette. And the kid came into the room, and the lodger was sitting on the bed, and he put the cigarette to his lips, and in the half-darkness of the room, you know, inhaled, and the tip of the cigarette glowed red, and then he put down the cigarette and blew out the smoke and vanished. And so this was the ghost of the man who had died in the room, and the kid slammed the door shut and ran down. And this was a grown man who was recounting this story of this thing that had happened to him as a child. So I have many stories like that, which maybe aren't on the hike yet, but I could certainly work in at some point.
So this haunted hike tour is part of Newfoundland tourism. And I was wondering how you think that the supernatural and things like that factor into Newfoundland tourism.
I think there's a great interest worldwide in what the industry calls dark tourism. And people are hungry for this type of experience. And I think when people come to Newfoundland and they hear stories about, you know, the fairies or about ghosts or about pirate gold or whatnot, they want to go somewhere and hear those stories. And though we are a place where people love telling stories, we tend to tell those stories to each other. We don't necessarily tell those stories to strangers they meet on the street. So sometimes it's difficult for tourists to get into the real stories of a place. So as a tourism operator, I see a market there. And I see that there are people who want to listen to stories, and so I can provide them with an experience where they can hear the secret stories of Newfoundland. I think that that's something that tourists love. They love getting a sense of a place that they might not get just from walking around.
Yeah, I really got that when I was on the tour, a sense of kind of a local insight and like being walked around by someone who really understood the area. And so it gives you like a really good sense of place, like you're actually part of that community.
I've had people come on the walking tour who are from St. John's, who grew up in St. John's, and I will take them down a back alley and they will say, I grew up here and I didn't know that that back alleyway existed. Because depending on which neighborhood you grew up in, you might not wander through that area as a kid. And I think today we live in a car culture and people drive around the neighborhoods. They don't necessarily stop and wander through the little back alleys. So the haunted hike is a great way for locals to kind of get a sense of their own community. And then because I'm telling local stories that I've learned from local people, visitors get to feel like they're in on something secret.
And so if people wanted to learn more about you or the haunted hike or supernatural Newfoundland, where could they go to find out more?
If people are looking for more information about the Haunted Hike, they can go online to hauntedhike.com. That's the website for the ghost tour. And then I have a number of books. I've been writing ghost story books for several years now. And people can go to their favorite book retailer online, and they can do a search for Dale Jarvis. And I have several books of local ghost stories, fairy stories, and unexplained mysteries.
And I was wondering if you could end us off on either the coolest, weirdest, or scariest ghost story you've ever heard.
Oh, goodness. There is one that I do love. It's one of the stories from the hike, and it's fairly short. It's about a husband and wife in the mid-1800s who purchased a house in downtown St. John's, and they seem quite happy. And one day the wife simply disappeared, and the husband looked everywhere for his wife, and there was an investigation into her disappearance, but nothing could be found. And the husband waited for her to return, waited for a month. And when she didn't return, he, brokenhearted, sold the property and set sail for Europe. And he was never seen again. And that's the sad part of the story. The terrifying part is what follows. The couple that purchased the house moved in, not expecting anything out of the ordinary. And they were there only a short period of time when they started to hear a strange series of noises coming from a walled-up closet in the kitchen. And in thinking that it had become infested with rats, they decided to open up the closet, and they found a large wooden box. The cover of the box was sealed down with pitch. They opened up the box, and inside, much to their horror and disgust, they found the dismembered corpse of the man's wife. The pieces of her body coated in tar to prevent the smell of her rotting flesh from revealing what had happened. At some point, and for reasons unknown, the man had murdered his young wife, butchered and preserved her corpse, and then sealed the pieces up inside the closet. And it was said that from the moment of the discovery of that body in the box up until the time of the destruction of the house by fire, the home was known to be haunted by the ghost of the murdered bride, who would appear in the doorway of the closet, illuminated in a dazzling brilliance from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. A graphic reminder of one of St. John's most brutal murders.
Okay, so I'm Rebecca Nolan, reporting for Journeys of Discovery here in St. John's, Newfoundland. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us, Dale Jarvis.
Thank you for having me.
I'm associate producer and Canadian correspondent Rebecca Nolan, reporting from Newfoundland, Canada, for the NPR podcast Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer.
Had you one kiss from my clay cold lips, your time would not be long.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers from the San Francisco Bay Area include Molly Blaisdell, Lori King, and Susie Rodriguez, Melissa Corbin from Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkan Songs on NPR affiliate KUAR.
Is weathered to the stars.